Russia and its oil have been subject to sanctions by the United States and eventually by Europe. Still, Russia continues to make about $20 billion every month in oil sales. So how does it get its oil to market? Does it have to do it quietly, in the dark? And can it continue once the sanctions tighten? Let's talk now to Matt Smith, lead oil analyst at the firm Kepler, and he's on Skype. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
So right now, what are the restrictions Russian oil exporters face?
It's across the spectrum, really, Scott. So at one end, you have the US who came out and put a ban on Russian energy. And so all flows of Russian crude and products have halted coming into the US.
Okay.
At the other end of the spectrum, Russia has been sending less crude into Northwest Europe, but that has been 100% picked up by heading into the likes of India and China instead.
And 100% picked up?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And so you can see direct substitution of about 1 million barrels per day that was going into Northwest Europe previously and instead is going into India. That Russian crude is at a very steep discount now. And so India is a real refining hub, and they're taking that Russian crude in, and then they are converting it into gasoline and diesel and sending it out onto the global market. And so even though there are sanctions being placed on Europe and Europe may halt taking Russian crude, they may still take Indian diesel, or the US may take Indian gasoline or blending components. And so it's really impossible to completely halt Russian energy hitting the global market.
Now, we have been reading about, say, oil tankers carrying Russian crude turning off their transponders so that they're hard to track. Is that happening? Is this business trying to be harder to spot?
We expect that that will really pick up the more that sanctions start to kick in and the more that people get named and shamed for taking it. But at the moment, because there aren't strict rules in place not to take it, we're not really seeing that. We are starting to see some signs of obfuscation in terms of a pickup in ship-to-ship transfers, but nothing on the scale as you see with Iran.
When you say ship-to-ship transfer, what is that?
That will happen for a number of reasons, but it can be used as the seaborne version of money laundering. So you're essentially transferring the crude or products from one ship to another in an effort to disguise the origin.
Matt, you mentioned Iran, which faces sanctions now and surely has been trying to find ways around them. What is in the Iran playbook, as it were, that the Russians might want to borrow?
Right, right. And I'm sure they will as well. So Iran serves as like the blueprint for how to obfuscate these flows. The key one they do is by switching off their AIS. And so AIS stands for Automatic Identification System. It's a satellite signal that tells all other vessels around that vessel where it is. And so it's primarily there for safety. But what we've seen with Iran, they typically leave Iran or do ship-to-ship transfers with their AIS off. They've been primarily heading to offshore Malaysia. Then they do that ship-to-ship transfer. That vessel puts its AIS on and goes and delivers that crude into China. They're called ghost ships to try and, you know, hide the origin of where those flows have been coming from.
The way you describe it, it sounds like it works. I mean, it's hard to follow. Is that right?
It is. The world is a very big place. And so it's virtually impossible to be tracking these things all the time.
I'm trying to understand the upshot here then. Do you and other oil market experts think eventually, as more countries say we're not going to take Russian crude, as countries will be shamed for buying Russian crude, is the expectation that Russian crude is still going to be able to get to market somehow?
Unless it heads to somewhere such as China or India, where they are willing to take it and willing to get fingers pointed at them. Everything else then is going to be the challenge in terms of those barrels that would be heading into Europe or are now, which are needing to go and find a home elsewhere. And so we should expect to see this subterfuge really picking up the closer that we get to and get beyond them being applied sanctions.
So, Matt, it sounds like You and other oil experts are suggesting that the Russians may not be able to sell all of their oil in the market. If that happens, what are the implications for us at the pump? Americans are paying $5 right now.
Russia is one of the largest oil producers in the world. And so some modicum of success is going to come from these sanctions, which means that some production is going to get shut in. And when you take supply out of the market, that means that prices go higher. I feel like I'm giving bad news all the time, but that's the predicament that we're in here. We're in a high price at the pump environment, and it seems difficult to see a way out of that.
Yeah. Well, Matt Smith, thank you for the bad news. Matt Smith is lead oil analyst at the firm Kepler. Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome, I guess.